Bloomberg Surveillance with Ken Pruitt and Tom Keene. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
John Sylvia with us from Wells Fargo, who I would say has been more than not cautious and not negative, but just away from the unbridled optimism of so many. Here, we look at real GDP, Dr. Sylvia, moving from a year ago, 2%, 1.3%, 3.1%, a big third quarter of last year, that horrendous fourth quarter, 0.4%, and now 2.4%. Is this ebb and flow and up and down quarter to quarter going to continue?
Oh, I would say definitely so, because now we're looking into the second half of the year. People are anticipating, you know, to what extent sequestration may have an impact on third quarter GDP and fourth quarter GDP heading into the new fiscal year. But overall, Tom, we've had 3 years in a row with basically 2.1% growth. It looks like this year is going to be another one, another 2.25% economic growth. So when you look at, you know, the four-quarter moving average of a lot of this data, you still have about 2%. And it's nice to see the consumer continuing to support overall growth while the government sector continues to be a drag.
Government consumption, the previous quarter, negative 1.4%. Government consumption, now revised, just out, a negative 1%. Parse those simply for us. Forget about the pages of data they put out. Is the private economy growing at 3% and the government economy growing at 1%? What's that math?
Yeah, I mean, something like that. I mean, if you look at the data, and we do a lot of graphs in our presentations where we really differentiate the private economy from the total GDP, and you're quite right. I mean, private sector is growing around 2.5% or so to 3%, and the government sector, now remember, that's not only federal but state and local, those sectors continue to subtract from growth. And so when you look at the chart, you realize the private sector is actually doing quite well. Thank you very much.
Year over year percent change, another way to look at it, folks. And again, behind that headline data that you see, there are pages. There are just pages of data, subsets, if you will, like exports and imports. National defense, the previous quarter, negative 5%. This quarter, negative 6.2% on national defense. Overall government consumption, negative 2.3%. How long does this fiscal drag go on?
Well, probably for another year or two, because once again, adjustments have to be made with respect to the size of the federal government and its spending relative to an economy growing, let's say, the private sector growing at 2.5% to support it. And I notice also, Tom, that state and local government spending continues to be a negative. Once again, restructuring government to fit the economy that can afford it.
Well, and the futures are up. We're up 5 now. We're up 7 there, so a better tone all in all to it. You look at the dovetail here, and there's a conservative and cautious Wells Fargo equity call as well. Corporate profits are something equity strategists look at. Corporate profits are something you look at within the GDP report. Are corporate profits part of the mix forward? Are they still going to mint money like we've seen?
I think when we break down corporate profits, what is interesting, Tom, is that the domestic non-financial corporate profits now exceed the peaks prior to the Great Recession. Financials are pretty much at levels that are consistent with the pre-recession levels. But I would think that the year-over-year growth in profits will probably slow down. It'll still be growth. It'll still be positive. But that's a typical business cycle where the profit growth does slow down as the economy matures. But at this point, Tom, employment cost indices, producer prices, commodity prices don't show a lot of upward pressure, and therefore growth is still the outlook for corporate profits.
And Mike McKee, jump in here, but something to talk about. It is a $16 trillion economy on nominal GDP, $16.005
trillion. Rich Truman, will you get the champagne? We'll get our party hats on.
I think the party hats need to be broken out.
John, just very quickly before we take a break, and you'll be back with us, the corporate profits we're talking about are interesting because this is not the S&P 500 corporate profits. This is everybody. This is companies that aren't public. So this is really kind of the profits model number that matters when you're trying to figure out where the economy is going.
That's right. I mean, there's a big difference there. And you're right. It is important to get the broader sense of profits because, once again, a lot of small businesses not in the S&P 500 still buy equipment and software, still employ people.
My time is sort of a rule of thumb I've had for years, John, that if nominal GDP, top line animal spirit, isn't 4%, there's a problem. It's 3.6%. Do we have an animal spirit dearth here in America?
Yes. I like the fact that you brought up nominal GDP earlier. I was going to bring it up and glad you brought it up again. Nominal GDP basically is basically top line revenue. And I think when you look at corporate profits and the efficiency of U.S. corporations, what's happening is, and you hear it in many of the announcements that companies make on corporate profits, you know, their revenues disappoint or their revenues are flat, but their profit or their earnings went up because they've become more and more efficient. And it does reflect, I think when you look at not only the animal spirits of many businesses, corporate cash flow is fairly high. When you look at the households, cash holdings are very, very high relative to wealth. You do have a high degree of, as economists would say, uncertainty in the economic system.
I love what you just said. Let me play devil's advocate.
Sure.
Revenue's high. Nominal GDP, 3.6%. It's like, okay, so that's revenue, but the profits from all this song and dance are over in Ireland with Apple Computer. I mean, is it a real GDP number, or is it distorted by our tax policy where the profits down the GDP income statement are abroad?
Profits wouldn't be in our GDP if they're earned abroad.
They are distorted because if you look at U.S. corporate profits as reported, what you'll see over the last – and we have a graph on this, and we can easily send it to you, Tom. But increasingly over the last 20 years, more and more U.S. corporate – earnings have been, in fact, made abroad. And that's why I think as an investor, you could actually have a more international portfolio by buying U.S. companies that actually have significant earnings abroad.
Does that make it harder when you do forecasting?
I mean, absolutely.
It really has changed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely, Mike. Because oftentimes economists will look at corporate profits as sort of an engine for hiring and for investment. And if you look at corporate profits, you'd think, why aren't we hiring more people? Why aren't we investing more in equipment and software? And the reason is, well, basically, a lot of those profits are earned abroad. They're stayed abroad because that's where the customer is in many cases, or that's where the efficient production is. And so there you go.
All right. Let's go back to the GDP report here for a second. A negative 4.9% government spending. Obviously, the sequester at work, and that was only the first quarter. For a story I'm doing today, I've looked at the numbers for the second quarter, and you know, various analysts have us running around 2%, which is better than people had thought for the quarter. But how do you factor the government into it? Because that's one number you don't know. Does it suggest to you that the sequester's impact is going to be worse than we think at this point?
Well, I would say, Mike, that is one of the big questions about the third and fourth quarter. As we enter that new fiscal year, what exactly happens? Because there's a lot of discussion of postponing some of the sequester hits until that third or fourth quarter. So yes, it does raise the uncertainty level for a lot of folks going forward. But again, look at Chairman Bernanke's testimony. He mentioned it in his testimony that sequestration and the impact on the economy still remains a big question mark, and that probably will keep the Fed continuing its current policy.
We heard this earlier this morning, Mike, this idea, I mean, first and foremost, a delay in that what was to occur in the second quarter just published, maybe now will be third quarter.
Yeah, well, John, basically what you're saying is all you people who started trading on the idea of an early cutback in QE are wrong.
Right, I agree. I don't buy June, I don't buy September. I think those are way too early for the Fed to be cutting back because even at that point in time, Mike, the impact of sequestration is still very uncertain.
Interesting note this morning, Tom, by the way, probably not this week, but apparently some federal agencies have made a deal that if you're going to be furloughed, you have 5 days of furloughs, you can take them all in 1 week, then you're eligible for unemployment claims. So it's sort of on the one hand, goes against the grain of cutting expenditures by the federal government because they're still getting paid. But on the other hand, it's going to distort unemployment claims. So that's one more thing the Fed has to take into effect.
And you're taking that further. That's a federal cost savings that the state has to pick up because the state, for the most part, does unemployment claims, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm shocked. I'm just, my naivety has been stolen away from me. Where are we going to be a year from now? Where's interest rates a year from now?
I think as far as the 10-year Treasury, which is our benchmark, they're going to be higher, probably 25, 50 basis points.
Is that a tipping point when you say reflation?
Yeah, because that's the point. I was just going to say that's the point Tom was making yesterday when you were asking about the tipping point, 50 basis points, about 2.4, 2.5.
That's Ira Jersey, 2.40%.
Right. So is that the tipping point?
No, not for me. I think that the economy can easily withstand 10-year treasuries at 2.5% or so. But, Mike, I mean, you look at an investor, and again, you can go on Bloomberg and do the math. The point being is that at current interest rates, your total return for owning a 10-year bond is already negative this year. And as investors start looking at their 401k or IRA reports or their mutual fund reports or whatever investment they have, they're going to look at their bond portfolio and realize that that 10-year treasury or the government bond portion of that portfolio is already underwater. So you've already lost money. And I think, again, as rates rise and continue to rise on the 10-year, people will become more and more aware, and then the shift in portfolios will occur again. People looking for yield but trying to protect against total return.
What about housing? The Bankrate 30-year mortgage index, which is a daily compilation, went over 3.9.
And my argument to that, Mike, is look at home price appreciation, Case-Shiller or CoreLogic. Those home price appreciation numbers, 8 to 10% in many markets, 22% in San Francisco. I think mortgage rates rising a little bit aren't going to make a difference there. And also, Mike, a lot of cash buyers are not going to be bothered by a slightly higher mortgage rate.
We have not talked about your wheelhouse, which is the job economy. In 30 seconds here, what should we look for June 5th?
Well, you know, we're thinking 200, 210,000 jobs.
Is big number, way over survey.
It's a good number. I think, you know, we are hiring. I would say, Tom, one of the tricks that we're having to deal with is a lot more of the employment is becoming part-time employment. So we're hiring more people, but we're also hiring a lot more part-time people. And I think that's a big difference. Also, the average work week continues to decline in certain areas, particularly in retail.
Right. I need to make a correction. I was saying June 5th. It is June 7th, my mother's birthday. So that'll be easy for me to remember.
Happy birthday.
Wow.
Yes.
You can't get that one wrong.
I can't get that one wrong.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.